But I do pray that God would just reveal to you as this message comes forth, you know, what are the areas of risk and what are the areas of opportunity? And when I say risk, I don't mean to focus on the negative, but there are areas of our life where if we're not allowing God's word to illuminate that part of our life, if we are not guarding our heart above all else in a particular area of our life, then we are at risk. We are at risk of the circumstances of the day. We're at risk of the enemy taking pot shots at us. And so my prayer as we get forward into the word and endeavor to yield to the Holy Ghost and allow that truth to come out, that areas of risk in your own life will be exposed, but also opportunities. Opportunities to be an engaged doer of the word. Opportunities to take the truth that we have on the inside of us, this light that we are supposed to let shine and shine bright and never, ever, ever hide it under a bushel, that those opportunities would be revealed to you as we go forward in the message tonight. So that is for sure my prayer. Ms. Hillary, would you mind opening up in prayer?
Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you that you made this day and you put benefits in it for us today.
Thank you, Father.
We're going to receive the benefits that you prepared just for today.
Thank you, Father.
For the word that goes forth, Lord, we are leaning in to hear what you
have to say,
Lord. Thank you, Father. You have something vital for us today that's going to help our lives in the future. We just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you chose this way to bring your word to us. And we choose to lean in to hear what you have to say. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pay attention to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, that's awesome. So when I was in elementary school, young boy, my mom bought me a new bike. It was a Huffy Thunder. And my dad put the bike together. I remember helping my dad put the bike together, tighten the screws down on the wheels, get the seat adjusted just right, old enough to not have training wheels. And so I get this bike, and now I'm going to ride the bike. And although I don't have clear memories of the riding it before this event I'm going to mention, because that I do remember very well. I'm sure I was riding the bike up and down. I'm sure I was beaming. I'm sure I was going, Mom, Dad, look at me. But this bike, I was ready to do something pretty amazing on this bike, and that was to pop a wheelie. And so here I am on this bike. I'm going to pop a wheelie, right? So you kind of test it a little bit. This bike's kind of heavy. And so I do a couple passes, and then with all my strength, I yank up on the bike to pop a wheelie, and that wheel just keeps going. And the fork of the bike hits the ground, and this Huffy Thunder bike now turns into a catapult. And me, weighing all of who knows what back then, go flying and hit the ground. And so when I hit the ground, I get up, and I'm not bruised or I'm not broken, but I'm a bit shattered at the fact that now this bike that my dad put together is broken, and in my little mind, this bike is never going to be able to be ridden again. And so I grab the tire, and I grab the bike, and I drag him back home. And we put the bike back together without any issue. And my dad, you tightened it up a little bit stronger this time, and now it's there, and I can ride it week after week without any issue. We put that bike together. And then another opportunity comes my way with this bike. My mother hands me money and tells me to go to the store and get milk. And so as a young, you know, elementary school student, I'm excited for all kinds of reasons. Because one, I get to ride my bike down this particular sidewalk. Two, I've got money in my pocket, and I've also got the responsibility of, as a young boy, to go get milk. And so the reason I like the route, though, to this particular gas station is that the sidewalk, and there's many sidewalks like this around here, in fact, I did this when I was 10 years old around this church as well, which is the sidewalk began to buckle. And so City Works would come and put down the black asphalt. And what they were doing, unbeknownst to them, is they were creating ramps for really courageous boys like me. So these ramps were created for the sole purpose of boys like me, girls like me, to get on their bikes, get on their skateboards, get on their rollerblades, and get some serious air. And so we're on this bike, and I'm riding my bike down, and I'm popping wheelies, you know. It's on there solid now, so there's no issues. And I get to the gas station, and I get milk. And when I'm leaving, instead of just grabbing the milk and riding my bike home, I decide, wait a minute, now is my opportunity. Because at the edge of the gas station, and I've driven by the same gas station as an adult, there's this embankment. It's got concrete and gravel on it, and it goes down to the sidewalk, and then the sidewalk is the street. And so in my mind, again, here I go, I'm going to take my bike and I'm going to pop a wheelie. I'm going to pop a wheelie, picture this, pop the wheelie, ride down on one wheel, land safely on the sidewalk, skid, and then head back home. Yeah. And so I I get on my bike, I head right to the edge, I pop the wheelie, the bike goes, the milk goes, but when the bike went, it flipped up and it poked me right in the middle of the head. Yeah, and so I get up, and this point I am crying. Not only am I crying, I'm bleeding. And not only am I crying and bleeding, there is milk splattered all over the place. So I pick up my bike, which isn't damaged, I wipe the blood and the tears from my eyes, I grab the milk, I grab my bike, and I ride home. And as I'm riding home, I'm leaving a trail of blood and tears and milk behind me. And I walk in the front door, and my mother, who I think may even have almost passed out, imagine, you know, you walk in and your son's standing there covered in milk and tears and blood, and my now empty, you know, milk carton. And my mom washed me up and everything was fine. That's not the point. What do you think the lesson is that I learned that summer?
Nothing.
What do you think? Nothing? That's fair. That's fair. What do you think? What do you think the lesson is that I learned that summer? I learned that it's better to have two wheels firmly gripping the road than one. And so tonight we're going to talk about two principles that I think it's better to have two of these principles firmly gripping this road that we call life. It's better to have two wheels firmly gripping the road than one. Joshua 1:8 is the verse that we're going to anchor back to a lot. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. To give context for the couple of points that I want to make, I'm going to share a testimony. I'm going to share a testimony about how God delivered me from the brink of depression. But I'm not going to share any of the past details for a couple of reasons. I'm not going to spend any time or energy talking about the place that I found myself in. I'm going to spend every bit of energy that I have right now talking about how God delivered me from that place. Amen? And there's three reasons why, and these are very specific. One of them is I have no intention of giving the devil any airtime in this particular conversation. You know, so often we want to talk about what the enemy has done in our lives. And so many testimonies, and I have testimonies in my life, and I have at times shared the gruesome details when I felt that it was the appropriate thing to do. But tonight's not one of those nights. I have no interest in sharing it because I have no interest in giving the devil, who is a defeated foe, who is an absolute loser of all losers, and someone that I have no interest in promoting. The second reason is I want you to incline your ear and to focus in on the few points that I want to make tonight. Because if you do, and if your heart is open, and you allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, they could be the words that you need to make a difference in the coming days and weeks and months and years of your life. It may also just be for you that this was a nice message and you go out and never even think about it. And that's okay too, because it's not my message. I'm here to share what I believe God wants me to share. So I'm not going to spend time giving the gruesome details because I want you to focus on the right thing. And the third reason is because I just don't care. I really don't. I don't care about the past. In fact, when I got to the other side of where I was, God made it clear to me that we can forget those things which are behind. We can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And to be honest, I would have to work hard, even only 45 days later, to even remember some of the details of how I felt. Because that's how transformational God can be in our lives if we ask Him, if we go to Him. So I'm not going to talk about it because I don't care. I've cast that care before God because He cares for me. Amen? Amen. And in the moment that I'll describe here, because I am going to focus on the exciting things that God did, in that same moment, I made the decision to stop looking back. And I made the decision as well to stop talking back. And not talking back in the sense of, you know, a child talking back to their parents, but talking back. Talking about the past, talking about the stuff that's happened. I think at times as believers, you know, we need to tell ourselves, shut up. Okay, I'm not saying say it to somebody else, but to yourself, just shut up. Just stop talking about that. Amen? Amen? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I was dealing with because Jesus died for it all. Right. What matters, and what matters a ton, is that God delivered me. And when I asked God to give me a hunger and a craving for God's Word, He did. I've had only one other time in my life that I can think of that compares to what I'm, you know, even now still experiencing, and that was 21 years ago. And I ask God, give me a hunger and a craving and a thirst for your word. And that can manifest itself and translate to each person differently. For some, it might mean that that just means you're spending 12 hours a day in the word. For others, it might mean this. Like, it doesn't matter. What it meant for me, it meant for me. And I know it's from God. And so I want to talk about two primary things that happened that kind of helped me on this journey back, and then we'll talk about the two wheels that need to be firmly planted on the road. And the first thing that happened for me is that I had believers come alongside me, believers who came alongside and shared truth with me. Believers who came alongside and were willing to speak the truth to me, willing to listen, willing to share, willing to challenge. And one particular time, a person not a member of this church at all, we were sitting down, we were having lunch, and at that time I was talking about some of the challenges I was dealing with, and this person across from me just said, listen, the waves are all around you, and rather than using your paddle to get to the other side, you're using the paddle to beat yourself over the head with it. Stop doing that. That's ridiculous. I got a little bit bold, and we kept eating our sandwiches, and a little bit later he talked to me about in Matthew about Peter walking on the water, right? The true account of Peter walking on the water. You know, here, Jesus has a scenario where, you know, of course he goes and feeds the thousands of people, has the little bit of bread, a little bit of fish, and feeds them, and then he sends the disciples into the boat and across the way, and the storms start coming, and then Jesus appears walking on the water, and they get freaked out and call, if it's you, then bid me come, and Peter gets out and he walks on the water, and this guy is telling me this story, and it's a story that's familiar to all of us. There isn't anything in itself profound, but the point being made is that there Peter is walking on the water. That's like you or you or you or me or any of us, normal human being, regular people. Jesus stripped himself of all deity, you know, came as a man. Jesus walking on the water. Peter now walking on the water. Yet as soon as Peter began to look at the waves, he began to sink. As soon as Peter began to look at the circumstances, he began to go down into that water. He's walking on water. Something incredibly miraculous. They had just experienced something equally miraculous. Food being multiplied over and over and over again, enough to feed thousands and thousands of people. Yet the moment that Peter began to look at his circumstances, he began to sink. And then we know that Jesus immediately reached down to lift him up. Jesus immediately got them safely into the boat and commanded that storm to stop. And the point that I want to make is this. Peter walked on the water. And as this person was sharing with me this story, what I realized was two things, is that the enemy brings two different lies in a scenario like that. That God won't help me because you should know better. This is for me. That God wouldn't help you because you should know better. Or that I can't ask for help because I should know better. Peter and those disciples should have known better. They should have known their authority. They should have been able to continually walk on that water and to calm that storm because they had seen over and over again the miraculous work that Jesus had performed upon the earth, right? And so in our lives, that's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy that says, well, I should know better. And so when we find ourselves, whether it's dealing with sickness or whether it's emotional or spiritual or whatever the circumstance that you're dealing with, to be in a scenario where then the enemy brings that lie that says, you should know better. And then it causes you to close up. Or that lie of the enemy that says, well, you're a mature believer, you should know better. So you don't need other people's help. You can take care of this on your own. I mean, do we all know that that's a lie of the enemy?
Right. Yeah.
That's not the truth. And so here I am sitting at this restaurant and having somebody who's not a member of the church, someone who I don't even know all that well, able to speak something, and God's able to take that and to start to turn things around for me. So now I'm starting to take steps in the right direction. Okay? I start taking steps in the right direction. But there's still that, where's that breakthrough? Where's that energy restored? Where is that mounting up with like wings like eagles? Where is that? And what I realized is the second thing that needed to happen for me is that I needed to get alone and fellowship with my Heavenly Father and really take that time And all of us as believers should be taking that time to really go in and enter into the throne room of God. The Bible tells us that we can be still and know that He's God. We know that God speaks to us in that still small voice on the inside. We know that God is constantly wanting to share and to reveal and to show and to illuminate in our lives so that we can be victorious in all that God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
And so for me to get into that moment and actually listen to God, and to spend hours and hours quiet, that's hard to do at times. We want to talk to God about everything, and there's times for that. We want to even get rejoiced and exciting and shout, and there's times for that. And we should be doing that. We should shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We should, in destruction and famine, be able to laugh. We should be able to, out of the abundance of our heart, just let that stuff come out. But we should also be able to be still and to be in the presence of the most holy God and allow Him to speak to us. And when He does, it changes our lives. And I certainly am not the first, nor the last, nor the only in this space that has experienced those moments with God where He just touched your life. And it just changed your life forever. And all you want to do is tell people about it.
Yeah.
And so as this particular moment, as I'm sitting quiet, I actually went for a drive and I found myself out by some water, and there's nature all around, and I was sitting on a particular log for several hours, and as I was sitting there, and I was, you know, quiet and praying, and I glanced over at a piece of driftwood, and then as I was praying, God gave me a particular word, and He said, forward, just one word, forward. And as God gave me that word forward, I just started thinking about it. And I didn't really think about a whole lot. I thought about the verse, forgetting those things which are behind, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I thought about the fact that living and looking backwards is a waste of energy and time in some regards. And in this regard, it was that it's forward. The future is bright. And God has amazing plans and purposes, not just for me, but for my family, not just for my family, but for yours, and not just for yours, but this church as a whole. God has, without a doubt, an amazing, victorious, powerful future for us. And if not be even on this earth, we know we have it in heaven, because our work is eternal. And so as I sat there and got this word forward, and I'm having this emotional moment, and then I get up to grab this piece of driftwood, and then I nearly fell in the water because a loon had been sitting underneath me. And he jumped out at me. He scared me. And I fell forward. And then I started laughing. And then I watched him circle around mad at me because it sure had babies underneath there. And I took this piece of wood and I carved the word forward into it. I just began to think about it. And then God brought the verse to mind. Right? God brought the verse to me. And the verse that He brought, we already read. And we'll just read it from my Bible. In Joshua 1:8, and He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And then I look down and I see a note in my Bible. A note that probably goes back into the perhaps late 90s. I'm guessing maybe just because of the particular way I wrote this note. And it's a note, I know it was from a message that Pastor Mary was giving. And in that note, she had referenced that word prosperous there is to push forward and break out. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, oh, that is just incredible. And one regard, thank God for having your Bible, taking some notes, journaling, write some things down, and I would encourage anyone to do that. You know, I've done it sporadically throughout my life, and I wish I would have done it more consistently, but I can't change the past, but I can control what I do right now today and what I do tomorrow. And I would encourage you, take the time to write down the things that God reveals to you. Take the time to share. I know Miss Hillary does that. In fact, there's been times where she's come up to me and she's flipped through her notebook before and she's read something from months ago about prayer and then shared that, and the timing of that was just perfect. And so as God is revealing to me, because that's what God does. He wants the very best for us. He wants us to live in the light of His word, both written and spoken into our hearts. And so I get this word forward, and then I get that verse, and it was so encouraging. And one of the things that I've done since then is another this is a tip. This is like a little life hack that I got from Pastor Dwayne from like probably in the 70s whenever Pastor got born again. It was forever ago. And he's talked about it, how he took the In Him book and he put them on note cards. And so I began to do that, just taking note cards each day, pick a verse. And God just started revealing all kinds of things. And so Philippians 4:4 on 4:29, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. You hear that word, and that word is powerful. And there's anointing upon the word, and it just affects your life completely. Proverbs 4:26-27, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, you focus on God's word. You allow those words to come out of your mouth throughout the day. When I get in an elevator, I pull this out instead of Facebook. I pull this out instead of checking to see what's going on in my Twitter handle or what LinkedIn has to say or what cool deal is on, you know, Amazon. I mean, I'm certainly not going to sit up here and say that social media or phones are evil or bad or you shouldn't have them, because they're tools that are affecting lives around the world through the gospel. Ministers are able to share the gospel around the world through these types of tools. But if we allow them to be more powerful than even some scripture verses sitting on a piece of paper in your pocket, then we're missing some serious opportunities in our lives. And John 16:23-24, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Whether you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jude 1:20-21 says, but ye be loved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And verse after verse after verse. And you know, some people might say, well, that sounds like a religious thing. You know, like, well, you're saying I got to put it on a postcard in order to like... No, I'm not saying that at all. But dear Lord, I'd rather do that than do something else. I'd rather go have the discipline in our lives, and God can give that to each one of us because He can give us that kind of hunger and craving that you want to spend time reading His Word. And not out of religious works, and not out of a sense of trying to prove to God that you're worthy, and not out of a sense of guilt to make up for the time that I spent not pursuing God like I wished I would have. Right? But we can get right in the middle of what God wants for us and keep that word in front of us all the time. Meditate upon the word of God both day and night. And there is an alternative. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You can choose every single day to avoid God's word like the plague. You can choose every day to not listen to His still small voice. You can choose to not follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. You can choose to not say when you should have said. You can choose to say when you should have shut your mouth. But you can also choose to embrace God's word and to allow that word to get so alive on the inside of us that it just flows out of you. Way more natural in that supernatural sense than the things that would flow out of us naturally. Isn't it amazing how people's sort of natural tendencies come out in times of stress and pressure, right? I was on the phone with my wife, and she was out shopping with our daughter. And I was on the phone actually talking to my daughter, and we were talking about something. She was waiting in line to return an item at a particular store, and I can hear like mumbling and grumbling in the background, people talking kind of loud. Anyway, later Char tells me the story that there's a woman in line sees my daughter on the phone, and the woman in line is just impatient. Oh, she's huffing, and she's, when is it going to be ready? And she's mad. She's leaning over to my wife to kind of be mad. Suddenly she's like, when is she going to have the phone? Who's she talking to? And so my wife's like, that's my daughter talking to her, my husband. And so here this woman thought that my daughter worked there and was on the phone and didn't care. But grumpy pants and just totally riled up at a 15-year-old girl talking to her dad because life apparently was so hard and so stressful that she felt the need to do that. You can live like that. Or you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can allow the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, the kind of God kind of love that when you exhibit that love, it draws people to you. And it lifts up the name that's above every name. And it causes people... people yeah. to walk in a life yeah. that God That's wants true. Them to. Hallelujah. You can have the kind of love that casts out fear so that you don't have to be bound by fear. So that fear that brings in stress and brings in the number one cause of disease and stress that just causes all kinds of garbage to take place in this human body of ours. You can live without fear by walking in love. It's really that easy. Amen. And I said that intentionally. It's really that easy. Amen. So before we look at the two wheels that I want to get to here, we can take a look at the road. Let's clarify the path that we're on. So in that story that I gave, it's better to have two wheels firmly gripping the road than one. And that road is simply just the fact that this is the path that we're on. This is the life we live here on earth and beyond. That we are all set on a path. Not one of us are outside of a path. We are on a path somewhere, whether it's the right path or the wrong path. I mean, there's a road that's wide, there's a road that's narrow in all parts of our life. And so we know that God's word is to illuminate our path. God gives the direction, and then we travel the path. So God gives the direction, but we travel the path. I mean, even the plan of redemption took place because God saw that it was not good for that relationship between man and God to be broken as a result of the sins of Adam and Eve and humanity and the deceitfulness of the enemy. God saw that was not good. And God had a plan of redemption. God had gave the direction, but even he didn't walk it out. He sent his son Jesus to come as a man to walk out that plan upon the earth. God gave the direction, but man had to take that plan. And as I've shared almost every time I've given a message, because it's so powerful, it just bubbles up on the inside of me, is that Jesus in that Garden of Gethsemane had the opportunity, that moment, to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." Meaning there could have been and would have been and was another alternative that that Jesus, the Son of God, contemplated for a moment, but said, no, I'm not going to let this cup pass. Amen. Not my will, but the Father's will, because God gave the direction, and Jesus' job was to walk it out, to live it out upon the earth. So the path is that what God has set before us. God gives the direction. Our job is to travel the path. Ephesians 4:1 tells us to walk worthy of the vocation we've been called to. Psalm 37:23-24 in the New International Version. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Yeah, God gives us the direction. And then God gives us the strength and the ability and the guidance to navigate the path that he set us on.
Yes.
But our job is to walk it. Yep. I mean, have you ever been in a Walmart, and maybe it's even in Target, but I usually see it in Walmart. I've probably been one of these guys with Grant, who's soon to be 18, but where the kid's not really walking with the parents. You know what I'm saying? They got them by the arm, and the kid's dragging their feet. See, God's not doing that to us. God does not have us by the arm, dragging us through this plan.
That's right.
God is guiding us and directing us with his word and with the Spirit and with the Son of God.
That's right.
And our job is to walk that out, but he will guide us.
Yeah.
You know, you ever been to the state fair with kids? I mean, you've got your kids' hands and they're behind you. They're getting bumped and navigating, but they're walking. They're being guided.
That's right.
And that's our responsibility to do that. So if God gives the direction, I travel the path. It's important to keep in mind why. Okay, so yes, God gives the direction. I follow the path. I follow it out. But why? Why is that important? Think about all the things that get accomplished on this earth when God is in charge giving direction and people are in charge doing what God has told them to do. When people do not abdicate the responsibility of being doers of the word and not just hearers only. We're to be ambassadors upon this earth representing God. Years and years ago, Pastor Mary made that statement to represent God. We represent on the earth today the characteristics and the nature of Jesus Christ himself. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're created in the image of God. Right? Right?
Yes.
And so, think about all the things that get accomplished on the earth when God gives direction and we follow the plan. right? There's people I already shared in my life that came alongside me and spoke words in due season. I have a voicemail from a guy who sent me something. Timing, perfect. In fact, the time in which it was being sent, I mean, I've never had this happen to me before, is in the exact same time I'm talking with some other guys about the struggle that I'm going through. Incredible. It just blows my mind. Now, if God gave him direction, and I believe he did, the Holy Ghost prompted him. This guy's born again, spirit-filled. God prompted him to be praying and then to leave me a voicemail and tell me what he'd been praying about. The impact that it had in my life because God gave him direction and he followed it through now is able to help me in the state that I'm in, and now I'm able to help others in perhaps the state that they're in. Think of all the great things that get accomplished. Think of the lives that have been transformed forever and ever for the goodness of God because God gave direction and people followed.
That's right.
I believe you have a daughter who wouldn't be alive, correct?
Yes.
Had God not given direction and that direction not be followed. Mm-hmm. We serve an amazing God. We serve a God who's certainly worth following.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that I tell the leaders at my job is that we're leaders. And if you're a leader, you better be a leader worth following.
Hallelujah.
And God is without a doubt a leader worth following.
Amen.
You can find no flaw, no character glitch in God.
Yes.
God is good.
Hallelujah.
God is love.
Yes.
God is the great I am. The ultimate leader ever to be a leader.
That's right.
He will not fail, not falter. God is love and love never fails. Amen? So we can follow him and we can count on the fact that he's going to lead us in the right direction. So God gives direction. Our job is to follow the path. Psalms 119, 105 says, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And some of you may have already got this point as you've read this verse. I've read this verse a whole bunch of times.
Are you serious, Pastor?
My second pastoral hanky. Forgive me. I don't know. God just, you know, superpowered some people's tear ducts. I don't know. That's how he made me. I don't get it. I'm not sad. I'll tell you that much. Because the joy of the Lord strengthens us in any state that we are in.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor. And so his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so what I realized for me, and I want to share this revelation, is that he gives light on what we do, our feet. Like I kind of just merged it together. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so God illuminates our feet. That's us. He illuminates the areas of our lives and what we do. So God shines light in our actions, in our approach towards the path that we're on. It's about how am I engaging in what God wants me to engage in. Because his word is a lamp unto my feet.
Yes.
And it's a light unto my path. And that path is the circumstances that are around me. It's the environment in which I'm in. It's the direction that I'm going. It's the place where I'm at. So God's word is not only revealing from my perspective how I view my circumstances, how I view my behavior, how I view my response to what life may bring. God is also seeing ahead and making provision and illuminating for me the things that are now and in the future of my life. And the state that I've got to was the result of, and there's no guilt and condemnation, I guarantee you that, because God, there's no guilt and condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So I say this merely as a reflection point. That I forgot the point even. That's probably good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So if the point was important, it'll come back and then I'll share it. So he gives us light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He shows us where our feet are, what we do, but then he reveals to us the path that is before us. You ready for that first wheel? This is going to be really good. Blow your mind. Wheel number one, the pursuit of the word. The pursuit of the word. I mean, we know that God's word, not only is it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, not only is his word an incorruptible seed that cannot be broken down or become obsolete or void, we know that God's word is the solid rock, the foundation in which if we choose to build our lives upon, the storms can crash and crash all day long and it's just not going to fall down. Right?
Yes.
But the pursuit of the word of God for this analogy for this example, you could pick any number of wheels you wanted in your life, but for this, it's the pursuit of God's Word. To pursue something or not to pursue something. To pursue or not to pursue. That's not the question. Because we're all pursuing. Everybody is pursuing something. Everyone is pursuing something. It's like Pastor DeWayne years ago, and has said it even since then. You know, back in the day, he said everybody's tithing to something. He tithed to, the 7-Eleven for the big gulp.
Little red wagon,
even better. It was alcohol. Yeah. Darn it.
Little liquor store.
So he tithed to the liquor store. Some tithed to 7-Eleven. Everybody's pursuing something. We're all pursuing something. Whether you're saved or unsaved, we're on this path and there's a pursuit taking place. So the question really becomes, what are we pursuing? And it's a vital necessity in our lives that we pursue the Word of God. To go after it. To be tenacious about it. To hunger and thirst for it. In the same way that if someone tried to cut off the airflow into your life, assuming you wanted to live, assuming you placed value on the lungs in your air the air in your lungs that caused you to stay alive, if someone came behind you and tried to cut off that air, my assumption is you would fight with everything that's within you to restore that flow of air into your life. Right? Yep. And in that sense it's for the negative side of avoiding the loss of life. But regardless, when you place value, you'll pursue it. And so by placing value on God's Word, we should be pursuing it. When Charlene and I met 21 years ago, May 20th, you know, we had our first date a few months after that. On our second date, I told her, I'm going to marry you someday. She said, I know. And then the year after that date, we got engaged. And then a year later, we got married. And this coming June, we'll be married 19 years. And when we had our first date, I began to pursue her. I thought about her morning, noon, and night. And I'm not the only person who's fallen in love that's thought of the person that they fell in love with morning, noon, and night. There was a pursuit that took place. How much greater should it be in the pursuit of our Heavenly Father? I mean, nothing to take away from a great marriage, but that pales in comparison to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's nothing on this earth, not our kids, not our careers, not our friends, not our spouses, that should take the place of a deep and intimate relationship and a pursuit of the things of God. To go after it. To lean in to what God has for us. To pursue is not passively meandering through. I mean, to me, pursuit is like we're hot on the chase. We're going after it. God has something for us. There's a plan for all of our lives. The Bible is very clear. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So it's not as though you've got a plan and you don't have a plan. You've got a plan and you've got a plan. And God's got a plan for our lives. And we decide whether we're going to go after it or not. And the way that you know what you're supposed to be doing is to pursue God's Word. To pursue that knowledge of His Word so that our hearts can be established on those life-changing principles. It's to pursue God's Word. Joshua 1:8, again, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. To meditate day and night. That's continually. You know, to meditate, to ponder, that self-talk, to think about, to talk through, to say out loud, to say to yourself what God's Word says. To speak that instead of the garbage called the lie of the enemy. To speak that instead of a circumstance that is subject to change at every level upon this earth. Because God has proven that over and over again. He proved it with the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. He proved it through every miracle that's written in this Bible. He's proved it through the lives of countless hundreds of millions of people throughout all of humanity. Billions of people that have had their life changed by God. Psalm 1, it says that we know in there that says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, 97 says, oh, how I love your law. All day long I meditate upon it. And so the question becomes, if one of the wheels to have firmly planted on the road is how aggressive and how closely are you and am I pursuing God? And that's not someone else to answer for you. That's for you to answer for yourself. As a child of God, assuming you're born again here today, and if you're not born again, if you do not have a relationship with God, tonight's a really great night to make that happen as well. So you get to answer, am I pursuing God to the degree that I should be pursuing God? To the degree that my heart just longs to pursue God? And that's a question that we ask. You know, I work across the street from the Mall of America, so I'm in the mall fairly often. I'll have meetings at coffee shops, and I'll go for walks there. And when it's busy, it's crowded, you can sit and just watch families navigate the mall. Strollers, individuals, people. And there's a distinction in how children follow their parents. You know, as you're in the mall, you've got like the Von Trapp family where it's like everybody's in single file and it's like they're just like military parents for sure. And they're just all and they're in step with one another. You've got the family that's all huddled like, oh, my gosh, we're in this big place. And they're just like a little pod walking through. And then you've got, you know, kids that are just lagging behind, you know, just stopping, looking at every little thing. You got adults doing the same thing. My feet hurt. I'm tired. They sit down and come on, let's go. You know, you just see the speed walkers and the slow walkers and people ahead and people behind. And as we think about the need for us to pursue God, God is leading. God's a great leader. We've already established that. His word already revealed that. And so what kind of follower are we going to be? Are we hot on the heels of what Jesus did? Are we following those that God has placed in our lives like we're supposed to follow as they follow Christ? Are we following our pastor? Are we following the leadership and the guidance in our home? Are we following the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is a real person working on our behalf 24/7? Are we following the principles of God's word? Are we following the leading that God is giving us through messages and ministers? Are we lagging behind? Are we trying to get ahead? Or are we just right in step with where God wants us to be? And the challenge today, without a doubt, is that as we keep that particular wheel firmly gripping this path that we're on, that we do so with an aggressive pursuit of what God has for us. Just right there. I mean, why would we want to miss out on that? You know? I mean, not only do we want to not miss out on it because of the dangers that lurk. You know, you think about security guards zipping through the mall. Mall of America, back quite a few years ago when the Mall of America first opened, I worked at the mall and they opened up Planet Hollywood and they had all the movie stars out at the mall and they did a big, huge event. I mean, they had all Demi Moore and all kinds of people. And at the time, I had known several of the security guards that worked at the mall. And I would, on occasion, to get through the crowds of the mall, I would go into the back hallways of the mall and I would just zip around. And so this particular day, the day that Planet Hollywood is opening, I've got a baseball cap on, and, you know, young guy. And this is, you know, 20 years ago, more than that, more than that, 22, 23 years ago. And as I'm walking, I run into a couple security guards that I know. And they go, Sean, just follow our lead. And pull your hat down. And so they bust the door open, and I walk with three security guards with my hat down. Just a joke. It's so fun. And people are snapping pictures like crazy. You know, I'm sure that at that point they're like, oh, you know, what have I done? Like, you know, thinking this is a funny joke. But it was funny for a few seconds. The security guards, why would they do that? Why would celebrities do that? Because they want to be protected from the crowd, from the dangers of outside of that. So they stay very close to the people that are following them. Right? God wants us to walk in divine protection. God said, and we know that we can walk in this life and have angels that are encamped around about us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that the things that the enemy tries to bring our way don't have to prevail. But I can choose to walk my life outside of that protection that God has given and do it my way, or I can choose to walk my life inside that protection that God provides. We also know that on the positive side, there are promises of God that are yes and amen, that there is a promise that we have to walk in health, to be free from sickness and disease of any kind, mentally, physically, emotionally, not one sickness ever named or future to be named, whether it's revealed in our bodies today or not, is outside of the redemptive work of Christ. It's all within it. And we can choose to walk in that or not walk in that. Amen? All right. Wheel number two. The doing of the word. So when we have a pursuit of God, and then when we are endeavoring to do what God has done. Again, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then I'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. So it's important that not only are we pursuing God's word aggressively and in step with what God wants for us for all the reasons that we've already talked about, it's also important that we observe to do what God has set up for us to do. And I propose that all of us agree together that we will stop trying to hit the easy button as it relates to walking in the promises of God.
Amen.
You cannot take a pill and lose weight forever. You cannot, you know, take one class and be a rocket scientist. You can't be fit and healthy, sustained just by doing one little thing. You can't get rich quick. There's a reason why they call the lottery a poor man's tax. It's just throwing money away. Right? And certainly the point that I'm making is not about that as much as people want the easy button. How do we make it easy? You know, billions of dollars are spent on home shopping networks and as seen on TV ads because someone gets up and talks about how easy it is, X product. And then people sit at home and they start buying it left and right and giving it to all their friends for gifts. Don't give me those gifts. Except the bacon wave. That makes life easy, actually. That's pretty good about making bacon. So why would we think that having a life that God wants us to have, why would we think that having this deep and meaningful and intimate relationship with God and being able to navigate the cares of this world, the things that we deal with on this horizontal plane, why would we think that we can just, because we're born again, not do what God said that we're supposed to do and then still live out all the promises that God has for us? Thank God for His mercies that are new every morning, and thank God for His grace that is sufficient for every single need, and thank God for His forgiveness that He pours out for us and puts our sin as far as the east is from the west. But we have to be doers of the word. We have to stop trying to hit the easy button, right? I mean, it isn't easy, but it's not complicated either. Trust God and know that He is God. And know that He will not fail. And know that He will never leave you. And know that even if your circumstances is screaming at you at the top of their lungs, pay attention to me. And even if the thoughts that are contrary to God's word are bombarding your mind and telling you, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, you can tell them to shut up and be quiet. And know that God is on my side. And perfect love casts out fear. And God said I can walk in the God kind of love. And so you don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy that come your way. Amen? You can't obtain or maintain the promises of God in our lives by not doing. So just the idea that I'm going to just not do what God wants me to do and then expect that I'm going to have all the results that God said are mine. Because there's no question about the fact that God's poured them out for me, that God's made them available for me. That's not even in question. The fact that healing is ours and provision is ours and eternal life is ours, that's not even in question. That is an absolute, universal truth above all truths. That is a fact. The difference becomes what we do with that fact. And if we want to obtain those promises and maintain those in our life for a sustained period of time, we have to be doers of the word. We know that faith without works is dead. And that is more than just a really cool T-shirt or a bumper sticker or just a verse that we can all quote at the top of our heads. That is a reality. God's not mocked. His word is true. And you can like it or not like it, but it's still the truth. And I say, let's endeavor to pursue God's word and let's decide. Let's decide and determine and have the resolve necessary to say we're going to be doers of the word and not hearers only. What makes the two wheels go around? This is a few final points. I'm done here in just a couple of minutes is all. One of the ways that I believe these wheels get connected, that keeps these wheels turning, is by the value that we place upon the Word. If we place enough value upon the truth of God's Word, enough value that we would protect it, that we'd protect it in the sense that we'd protect our time and our priorities and our focus and our energy, that we would protect those truths that get placed into our heart. We know that the Bible says in Proverbs that we're to guard our hearts above all else, for out of it are the issues of life. And if we can guard both the word in our heart and the resolve to be a doer, that's the kind of value that we need to place. Because when you place that value, it puts it in this constant cycle. That you're consistently pursuing, and then you're consistently doing, and then you're consistently pursuing, and you're consistently doing. And the moment you stop placing value, the moment you place more value on something else, you stop pedaling and those wheels stop turning. Because if you don't value time pursuing God, then you're not going to pursue it. If you don't value what comes as a result of being a doer of the word, even if you don't value it for yourself, you don't value it for other people, You're not going to do what God told you to do. So I propose that the thing that keeps these two wheels spinning on this path that we're on is to have that value placed upon God's Word. From the message that I did last September, I made this statement. It is an absolute fact that God's Word is valuable and personal relationships with our Heavenly Father is vital, no question. However, the question you have to ask yourself, and the only person that can answer it is you, is how valuable is God's Word to me? And what is it worth to me? And that challenge still stands for all of us today. So, the reminders. Number one, let's pursue God. Let's pursue Him. Like just go nuts pursuing God.
Amen.
I mean, people pursue careers. They pursue athletics. They pursue relationships, like we said. Where's your pursuit for the things of God? Amen. Is it passive or is it intense? And I think intense is a good thing for the day that we live in today.
Amen.
Because we know that the times are going to get darker. And we, you know, In the time that I've been born again, you know, as an adult, I've heard, seems like every year, boy, times are darker now than they've ever been. Well, that means every year times are darker now than they've ever been. So why not pursue God with a level of passion and a level of intense pursuit? And the other thing is to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only, to take action upon the things that we know. And that builds and creates that momentum that continually propels us forward. And let's place value on being both a hearer and a doer. So Joshua 1:8 again says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And that word prosperous, to push forward and to break out. Amen. Amen. Pastor, that's all I've got, sir.